Well, this morning, the message I have is to really encourage you and to really inspire you to consider fasting, voice break, fasting in this week, which I believe is going to be an incredible week for us as a church, but for you individually. Maybe you've never done this. Maybe you've never fasted before. Maybe this is the first time. Can I encourage you? Do it. Have a go. Maybe it's just a couple days. I know we are doing 5 days starting tomorrow morning. But have a go. Maybe you can't fast 3 meals a day. That's okay. Maybe you're working in a construction job and you do need a couple. Or maybe it's fasting something else. You can do that also. So it's up to you how you choose to fast. But we just know that from Scripture that fasting is so important. We know it was important to Jesus. What did Jesus do after he was baptized? We know he went into the desert for 40 days and for 40 nights, didn't he? We know that he fasted and he prayed. And then the devil came and tempted him. Jesus, our greatest example, saw the importance, or he knew the importance of fasting. And you know that Jesus actually, in his heart, presumes that we are also all going to fast. Did you know that? He didn't think we might fast. As disciples of him, we are Jesus, the greatest discipler. Jesus actually says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Thank you, Sam. We chuck it up there, bro. Matthew 6, 17 and 18. But when you fast. It's not like if you choose to fast. No, Jesus says when. It's when you fast. Anoint your head and wash your face. I think it's always good to wash your face. Particularly at the moment, wash your hands, yeah? We've heard all those messages. Wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret, he will reward you. Doing this to be seen by others, that we are more spiritual than anybody else. Jesus says, if you're doing it for that reason, well, that's very hypocritical. And you will not actually have a reward here on this earth or in heaven one day. So Jesus encourages us. He says, when you pray, earlier on in Matthew chapter 6, when you pray, and then he says, when you give, and now he says, when you fast. Do it so that no one actually even knows you're doing it. I love the fact that, you know, in Scripture, we always see fasting accompanied with prayer. And I heard it said, there's a quote that says, fasting without prayer is merely a glorified diet, isn't it? It's a bit of a holy diet. If you fast, if you, you know, stop yourself from eating, you know, yourself, but you actually don't pray, yes, you will have some results, and that will be results that you'll lose a bit of weight and a bit of strength. But that's not the point of fasting. The point of fasting is to accompany it with prayer, is to replace those meals by actually seeking the Lord, taking that time to seek the Lord. So you can have a bit of Genesis chapter 1 for breakfast. You can have a bit of, I don't know, Matthew chapter 6 for lunch. And you can have a bit of Hebrews chapter 11 for dinner. So it's actually eating God's word instead of eating food. It's reading the word. It's getting the word in you, getting it in you, in your heart. Not eating, instead seeking the Lord, seeking God for all he has for us. I love this. So this morning, my text is from Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6 to verse 12. To give you a bit of context about this scripture, we know that this is the final section of the book of Isaiah. The third Isaiah. You've got one Isaiah, two Isaiah. This is the third section. It's from Isaiah chapter 56 to Isaiah chapter 66. And this is early on in that third part of the book of Isaiah. And it's actually written to the residents of Jerusalem during and after their return from captivity in 539 years before Jesus. So you can imagine the time frame of this. We know that they were being held captive by a foreign force. They were exiled. They were taken away from their homeland, just like a lot of the Jews were. by Germans many, many years ago. Same kind of thing. They were held captive. They were taken out of their homeland, and they lost everything. And now they're returning to Jerusalem, and many of them also, who might have become quite pagan while they're away, have decided to return to the Lord. And this is Isaiah's message to them. In verses 1 to 6, he actually tells them the reasons not to fast, actually. He tells them, he actually speaks about hypocritical fasting. A bit of what Jesus said there just before in Matthew chapter 6, that the Israelis at the time, the Jewish people at the time, fasting actually was a ritual. It had become just that. They had lost the passion for the reason that they were fasting, which was actually to seek the Lord and to separate themselves from food for a season and to seek God. They were just doing it because it was the thing to do. And Isaiah warns them against that. He says that you fast, yet you beat your servants. He talks about that. You can read it. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through to verse 6. You fast, but you cheat. Even while you're fasting, the actual day you're fasting, you're doing all these terrible things. And he warned them against hypocritical fasting. But here we see in verse 6 to 12, then we'll read that. So the first 5 verses are the fast that he does condone. But in the next 6 verses, he says, this is the fast that I do condone. This is the fast that I choose. This is the fast that I recommend. This is God speaking to the nation of Israel. Here we go, verse 6. You can read along with me up on the screen. Is this not the fast that I choose? This is God speaking. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. I might just stop there for a second. Let me ask you a personal question, and it's not loud. But what is it? What are some of the bonds that are holding you down right now? Maybe they are habits in your life which you've tried for years to break, but you've been unsuccessful at that. Maybe there are things, these bonds of wickedness, the straps of the yoke. So there's a burden you're carrying. That's what the yoke is representing here. This oppression. What are those things in your life that you can identify now that you need release from? The Bible says that when you fast, God will give you the strength to break those bonds. Isn't that good to know? Those bonds of wickedness, that yoke that's been on your neck. God says, as you fast, this is a tool for you to draw close to Him. And as you hear His heart, as He infuses you with His strength, with His Holy Spirit, with His Word, these things will begin to break off your life. Isn't that a good enough reason to fast? Come on. I'm really excited to see what the Lord's going to do in me in the next 5 days. Verse 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? So instead of eating the bread yourself, you're actually giving it away. That's what it's saying there. And bring the homeless poor into your house. Not to hide yourself from your own flesh. So in other words, what he's saying there, just to summarize, is looking not out just for your own needs, but looking out for the needs of others. During this fast, I'm saying, Lord, open my eyes to see. Lord, open my eyes to see those around me, and it might not be bread they need. What is it they need in their lives? What is it my wife needs from me that I'm not giving her? What is it my children need? Maybe that I'm blinded to see. God, what are these things? Show them to me, Lord. In this next week, as I seek you, as I come before you, open my eyes to see the things you want me to see, Lord. That's what is when we deny ourselves of the temporal and we seek after the eternal. We deny ourselves of food and we replace that by seeking the Lord and seeking His face. I really love this. In verse 8, it goes on to say, these are benefits or the outcome of seeking the Lord through fasting. Then, as you fast, as you seek Him, as you pray, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speed. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Come on. I want a bit of that. I want my righteousness to go before me, the righteousness I have in Christ. And I want God to be at my rear, to be protecting me, behind me, strengthening me. That's what the Bible says here. Light shall break forth, and we've read in the two previous verses about the darkness, the bonds of wickedness which hold us down. But now the Bible's saying, God's saying here, your light will break forth like the dawn. Isn't that beautiful? And it's the last week of the holidays, and these holidays, we've been doing a lot of surfing. And I love surfing. I'm not the best surfer in the world, but I just love it. I absolutely love it. And my boys, which is really exciting, Josh, Sam, and Jimmy, they've really been getting into it for the first time. I've always had this desire in my heart that they would surf, and but they haven't really up until this point. But now they just love it. And they're asking me, Dad, can we go to the beach? And so yesterday morning, we all woke up, 5:30, down to Secret Harbor. We met two other families there. They were there already. The one couple, one family came from Rolling Stone. Oh, you guys are committed. Their whole family, husband, wife, kids, the whole lot. They're down there with their esky having breakfast. They're there ready, waiting for us. And I was like, wow, these people are committed. But the Lord really challenged me in this. He said, Luke, you so easily will set your alarm and get up at 5:30 in the morning to go surfing. How eager are you to set your alarm at 5:30 in the morning and to seek me? Man, I was like, oh, Lord. But Lord, while I'm out there in the surf, I am praying. While I'm in the surf, God, I'm praying for protection from the sharks. Lord, have mercy on my life. Forgive me of any sin. If I get taken today, God, please. I did get convicted. The Lord is like, Luke, man, you're running after the surf early in the morning. You know, that's great. But how about setting that time aside, just as you do for surfing, to actually seek my face? You know, have you ever had a hobby before where maybe it's, I don't know, as simple as building a puzzle or fixing something at home, fixing the pool or doing something, you get so caught up with what you're doing that you forget to eat. Have you ever done that? Priscilla always says to me, Luke, have you eaten? No, I haven't eaten. She says, it's 2:00, you haven't eaten yet. No, I'm busy, I just want to finish this. No, you must eat. I think I'm consumed with seeking the Lord that food actually isn't the number one driving force in our life. We're so busy about His business that for this time that we set aside, that food doesn't become the number one thing. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do this week because I love coffee. I drink a lot of coffee, to be honest. I'm a bit addicted. I do admit. I admit. I drink. Oh, thanks, Josh. There's some water. Replacement. Sprayed it all over my face. But this week, I'm going to try to go without coffee. I'm going to give it a crack. But I just had my last coffee this morning. I'm going to wean myself off it, and I'm going to drink lots of water. I do encourage you, you know, if you do have medical issues and that, you know, you do need to still eat. If you're taking medication, make sure you do have something in your stomach. That is important. You know, we've got to be wise about this also. If you do have medical issues, make sure that you abide by what it says on the package, yeah? But I'm going to go water for the next 5 days, and I'm not going to drink coffee, so pray for me. Because that is a dominant force in my life, coffee. The moment I wake up, I crank that pod machine. From the moment I wake up, my feet hit the ground. Anyway, it goes on to say, your light will break forth from the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. In verse 9, God's glory will follow you. Isn't that good? God's glory is going to follow me. I love that. Thank you, Lord, just as He did with the nation of Israel when they were in the wilderness. At the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, didn't it? Went before them, went behind them, protected them, and led and guarded them. Verse 9, then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. Isn't that good? Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, here I am. If you take the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desires of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as noonday. Isn't that awesome? I love this. You shall call and I will answer you. Thank you, Lord, that as we call out to you this week, that you will answer us. Thank you, Lord, as we pray and seek you, Lord, that you will hear our prayers. Thank you, God, that you will this week. Amen. As we seek him, as we come, as we pray, as we spend time as families, if you can, to school or when they come home from school, before they go to bed, find that time as a family to sit down together around the table in your lounge and do these devotionals. You'll draw closer together. Husbands and wives, I encourage you to do this. Your unity will be stronger from this, and you'll have the Lord's blessings upon your life as we do this together. Verse 11, and the Lord will guide you continually. Who right now needs the Lord's guidance? Come on, we all do, yeah? And satisfy your desires in scorched places and make your bones, but I need a bit of bone strengthening this morning. The Lord says he'll make your bones strong. Come on. The Bible goes on to say in verse 11, and you shall be like a watered garden. A watered garden. I love that. Like a spring of water whose water did not fail. This morning I woke up pretty early as well, and I heard this sound. I wasn't wetting the bed, but I heard the sound like that. And those days, I was like, oh, heck, what is that? I ran outside, and my retic had exploded. And it was the pipe that goes from the front of the garden to take the retic to the back of the garden, underneath my pavers. I got pavers, and I got fake grass over the top of the pavers. And I could see there was a massive problem there, so I quickly turned the retic off. And that's something I'm going to have to deal with in the next couple of days. But the importance, and I was wondering why, you know, because this obviously had been happening for a few days, because when I looked, there was a massive hole where the hole it formed a massive indentation in the ground. And I was wondering why my golden canes at the back of my house were looking a little bit frazzled, because it has been very hot. But they just weren't getting the water. This leak was quite far down. It took a while for me to realize it. But those golden canes in my back garden just were not getting any sustenance at all. No water for the last maybe 1 or 2 weeks. The Bible says here that we will be like a well-watered garden. Don't you love that? And don't our gardens right now need to be well-watered? With a well-watered garden. What happens when you well-water your garden? Things grow, don't they? You can see life. I don't know about you, but I've had these dry patches on my grass lately. It drives me nuts. And I try work out what's happening. I check the retic, make sure it's spraying in the right areas. Check for bugs and ants and worms and beetles and treat them. There's nothing worse than having a beautiful green garden and having one dry, bare patch, is it? I hate that. But I got in there and I cut it all down and I fertilized it and I put urea on it and all kinds of stuff to fix it up. I want my garden to be beautiful. I love my garden. It needs to be well watered. And I know that if it doesn't get that water, it's going to die. It's the same as our lives, isn't it? If we are not receiving that water from the Lord, that sustenance from him, so too will our lives begin to frazzle, begin to dry out, and we'll lose that green. We'll lose that life, and people won't recognize that life in us anymore. It goes on to stay here in verse 12, and I'll just close with this morning. And somebody actually wrote this scripture down on the floor. I'm not too sure. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. Thank you to that person for writing that. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. And here we're talking about the city of Jerusalem, whose walls had been devastated, that's the word, devo, been knocked down by the armies that had come and pillaged and knocked them down. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. And you shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And we know that when Nehemiah came, remember Nehemiah when he came and they worked side by side. In one hand, they had the trowel. The other hand, they had the sword because the armies were still trying to come into Jerusalem and destroy it. I love this. So to summarize quickly, the seven things we get out of this. Number one, darkness will become light. Maybe you down the end of that tunnel right now and you can't see the light at the end of it. Can I encourage you? The Bible tells us, Isaiah 58, that as we fast, as we pray, as we seek the Lord, He will begin to shine forth His light in our lives again. Amen. Number one, darkness will become light again. Number two, He will give us physical strengthening. Isn't that good? Maybe your body is weak today. Maybe you're struggling with your health. Can I encourage you to pray and to fast this week? Believe for a breakthrough. Come on. Let's believe for breakthrough in 2022. Let's just not accept the status quo. Let's believe for breakthrough, even in our bodies this year. It says in verse 8, and your recovery will speedily spring forth. Amen. I want to speak that over you this morning. Your recovery will speedily spring forth. Amen. Come on. Number three, that God will be all around us with righteousness and glory. Come on, God's glory. God's glory upon your life. Even as Moses received God's glory, the Bible says that after he'd been up on the Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, he came down. And even when he met with the Lord in that tent of meeting, his face would shine. He would be illuminated with the presence of God. People would recognize that he had been with God. I pray that after this next week, that people will recognize something different about me. How about you? I believe that. I don't have to tell my neighbors, I've been fasting and praying this week. Poor me. No. As I fast and pray this week, I pray that they will recognize something different about me. That my family will even recognize something different about me. That there's been a change in me. Come on, let's believe for that. Number four, God will guard us continually. That's what it says in verse 11. And the Lord will continually guide you. Isn't that good? That the Lord will continually guard you as you pray and as you fast over this next week. Number five, it says in verse 11, and satisfy your desires, or to literally all, in scorched places. Maybe there's some scorched places in your soul at the moment. That's quite a poetic kind of picture, isn't it? There's some scorched places. Pray this week that the Lord will water from up on high and bring that garden back to life, that God will satisfy your soul. Number six, and on similar lines, that God will make us a watered garden. That we, as we've received from the Lord, will kind of be people, what are those cans? Watering can. That even as we receive from the Lord, our watering cans will fill up and overflow wherever we go. Just be like, a bit of new Joshy, a bit of new Benji, Francis, a bit of that. Without us even knowing it, we'll be overflowing with the life we've received from the Lord. And as we walk around, others will just be, just by the fact that they're close to us, that they'll feel the effects of us seeking the Lord. Amen. And then just lastly this morning, and we read that in that last part there, the ruins of his city and of his people. It says in verse 12, and those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will rise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which you dwell. Isn't that a great desire to have this morning? Say, Lord, if you can use me in any way to be the restorer of the breach. Maybe even in our own lives, if maybe the walls, there's been breaches. You know, the enemy, the Bible tells us, he's always trying his best. His only aim in life is to do. Did you know that? Through a range of different things. This is the Bible tells us that the devil, he goes around like a roaring lion, looking for those he can destroy. The Bible tells us that the devil has got schemes. It's that word, that Greek word, schizmatio. He incrementally tries to influence us. We need to be on guard against his schemes. He's got schemes. Young people, don't be unaware of the devil's schemes. Because just as God in Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, I've come that you might have life and life in abundance. But the devil doesn't want that. He wants you to have the opposite of that. Don't believe his lie. Don't get sucked into his schemes. Because they are incremental. Minimal, 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 minimal. And they all build up. Let's be aware of that. Amen. So this week, church, we have a wonderful opportunity to seek the Lord together. It's going to be amazing. You're going to be blown away by the Lord as you seek him. As you draw close to him, he's going to reveal things to you. Maybe you do feel dry. Maybe you feel like your heart or your soul is scorched, dry. Can I encourage you? Come this week. Spend that time with the Lord. Come pray with us. It's always wonderful to pray together. We're going to be here. 7 o'clock. Come and seek the Lord together with us. Amen. And on Friday, we'll have that anointing service where the elders of our church will grab that oil symbolically, put the Holy Spirit upon you as a sign, the oil, and pray the Lord's favor and blessing upon your life. Friday night, 7 p.m. And then after that, we're going to head out of here and eat some food. We might all go off to Nando's or something. I don't know. We'll do something. So, I'm really looking forward to this week. Join us. It's going to be a wonderful journey. If you haven't got your devotion, please grab it. Thank you, Josie. Grab those devotionals before the week to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word to us from Isaiah chapter 58. And Lord, we are reminded this morning that with your leading and with your guidance, Lord, we can accomplish much for you and even in our own lives, God. We thank you for that, God. Forgive us, Lord, when we've tried to do things in our own strength to lead us and to guide us in 2022. Lord, we place all our hope. Lord, we place all our trust in you, God. We thank you, Lord, that your word says that as we trust in you, that you will lead us and you will guide us, God. And Lord, I pray for each member of Heart City Church, each person that's here today. I pray, Lord, as we embark on this journey together, Lord, give them wisdom, give them guidance, give them strength, Lord. Give them perseverance, God, as we set this time aside, holy unto you, Lord. We set a time aside to seek your face. Lord, as we pray together as families, as we pray together as couples and friends, Lord, as we meet together, Lord, and seek your face, Lord, speak into our hearts, Lord. Lord, water those scorched parts of our souls, God. Lead and guide us by your Spirit, we pray. We thank you to do in 2022. In Jesus' name, amen.